Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Happy 4th of July, live in Los Angeles. This is The Herd. Wherever you may be, we hope you're having a great day, chilling out and watching us. iHeartRadio, we're on Fox Sports Radio, XM Sirius Channel 83, and right here on FS1. We are obviously on Kawhi Leonard Watch. I'll give you the very latest. This is what I do for a living. I'll tell you what I've been told. I have been told it is a coin flip Raptors-Lakers, and the Clippers are third. My friend Chris Broussard reported this morning that the Clippers are officially out of the running. This entire process, I have only made one prediction. I made it a month ago. Kyrie Irving would go to the Nets. And the reason I made that prediction was because I had an NBA player in the Eastern Conference and a former All-Star who knows Kyrie, both tell me he'd made a decision a month ago. That's the only one I felt strongly about. The rest of this stuff, we just don't know. I read something in an article this morning from Woj. Teams have simply been told this: if information on your presentation gets out, you are really imperiling your chance of signing Kawhi Leonard. They want it to be private. Oh, okay. That's interesting, because the only team that's kept it quiet and private has been the Clippers, and they're out. That's why free agency is so unpredictable. These are 27 and 28-year-old young men making career-altering, eight-figure, nine-figure decisions. You don't think it's hard? I've made several of these decisions in my 40s, and it was, and I didn't have nine figures. They weren't life-altering, and it was hard for me every time, every single time. I mean, could you have guessed KD, the world's best basketball player, arguably would choose the second most interesting team in New York, 30th in attendance, Nets? Kawhi would be still considering a Lakers circus. Jimmy Butler would go from NBA championship contender Philly to a seventh seed in the East, Miami. Al Horford would bail on the Celtics. Paul George chooses Westbrook in Oklahoma City over LA. He's from California. Yeah, NBA free agency, coincidentally, on Independence Day. These guys are independent thinkers. You don't know what you're getting. Let's talk about the Raptors and Kawhi Leonard. So he's still considering Toronto. Did you watch yesterday? It's like the Bronco chase, the OJ treatment, following all over Canada. And his cameras following all over the country. We know they had a final meeting. How do we know that? It leaked. We had fans and people waiting outside of the office building. Kawhi and his people were going to meet the Raptors. How did that get out? It leaked. Drake apparently was in the meetings. I thought he was quiet and covert and wanted to keep it under wraps. You're not going to keep anything under wraps with Drake involved. How about the Lakers situation? We found out 5 minutes after Magic Johnson and Kawhi talked, we found out about the phone call. It was like we had a transcript. I found out everything they talked about. Chris Broussard went item to item, story to story. How did that get out? Leak. Yesterday, a story broke, leaked. He's already decided on a 2+1 deal with the Lakers. Nobody's quite sure where it leaked from. Some are suggesting it's Clutch Sports, LeBron's agency, AD's agency. I don't know. But Toronto's been noisy. The Lakers has been a circus. The Clippers, not a peep. Steve Ballmer, the owner, not a peep. Jerry West, not a peep. Doc Rivers, not a peep. Covert, just like Kawhi. And they're out. They're out. If keeping it quiet was really crucial, the one team that has kept it quiet, the Clippers, who, by the way, also have a great culture and a nice young roster and a bunch of young kids, they feel like Toronto. They got all the elements in place. They just need a face. They just need a star. And you won last year with Toronto. You could certainly argue the Clippers are just a warm weather version of the Raptors. They're out. So when people try to predict, I mean, I was told Kevin Durant loved the people in the Knicks front office. He didn't even give them a meeting. Did anybody think Jimmy Butler was considering Miami? I mean, the Clippers are going to finish third on this thing. They've been the most professional. They've been the quietest. We don't know anything what these kids want. These are hard decisions. Free agency has been a guessing game. Outside of Kyrie to the Nets, who could figure out any of this stuff? I've been told Raptors, Lakers, coin flip. Clippers are third. Broussard said Clippers are out. And they've been the one that's done it right. All right, so I saw this story. Kevin Durant, quote, wasn't too fond of Steve Kerr, according to Stephen A. Smith. They did not have a great relationship. He wasn't fond of Steve Kerr at all. Okay, so who wasn't Kevin Durant offended by? The Bay Area media, Draymond Green, the medical staff, and now Steve Kerr. Steph Curry's been there for a decade. He's never had a bad afternoon. He's gotten along with everybody. He had to go through a coach being fired. Kevin Durant joining the team. Boogie Cousins comes in. He got along with everybody. I mean, Tom Brady's been in New England 19 years. He had one dust-up about a year ago with Bill Belichick, and they solved it. KD, 3 years in Oakland, and I mean a perfect team, a perfect owner, a perfect coach, a former player, a perfect teammate star, a perfect chemistry. And he didn't get along with Steve Kerr either. I mean, folks, this is like staying the night at a Ritz-Carlton and complaining that the pillows are too soft. If you can't, Boogie Cousins worked with the Warriors. Nick Young worked with the Warriors. We all thought JaVale McGee was kind of goofy. He worked with the Warriors. Everybody works for the Warriors. I mean, the Warriors walked on eggshells for 3 years with Kevin Durant. And now we find out he didn't like the coach. I think Charles Barkley had it right. KD is just really, really absurdly sensitive.
First of all, he's a great, great basketball player. And he's a wonderful, wonderful man. But he's one of those guys who worry about what everybody thinks. The one thing you can't worry about when you're rich, famous, good-looking, or great at a sport is other people. All the ugly girls hate the homecoming queen. They have no reason, but they just hate her. I think he got thin skin, and I don't understand why. He's one of the greatest basketball players ever. He's a nice man, but he has that gene.
The Warriors catered to KD. They did everything for KD. They walked on eggshells for KD. And the NBA media too often just panders. These are grown men. Some of this is on Kevin Durant. And oh, by the way, do you know who he's chosen to spend the next 5 years of his career with? Kyrie Irving. Kevin Durant is 6 foot 11 and a half of turbulence. Kyrie Irving is 6'2 of turbulence. That's an airline I'm not going to fly. Even on clear days, it's bumpy. Because if you couldn't get along with Steve Kerr, I've been covering the NBA for years. I don't think there's anybody in the league that doesn't like Steve Kerr. He went out of his way to get along with you. So did Steph and Clay. I mean, Draymond a couple of times poked you in the ribs, said things that were a little personal. It's pro sports. Guys argue. Peyton Manning used to scream at his buddy, all-pro center Jeff Saturday. It's on NFL films. You yell, you scream, you get over it. Nick Wright on First Things First this morning tried to explain Kevin Durant's displeasure with all things Warriors.
The other thing that he really wanted was a close, deep, almost familial friendship with someone on the team, and that didn't come either. So you had Kevin Durant, after that first title, feeling almost, according to the people that know him, worse than before because he actually finally grasped the thing he wanted and realized, well, if that don't make me feel whole, then what the hell can?
At some point, to be loved, you gotta love. Some of this is on Kevin Durant. The Warriors did everything you could do. They all flew cross country to meet him. Like on a holiday weekend, and all these rich guys in an offseason, they flew to meet him. And they come back, and the star, Steph Curry, over and over, he's the best player on this team, we need him. everything. They let him have his own medical guy and the other medical staff. They gave him everything he wanted. They won. I mean, this is, again, this is the Four Seasons of hotels. This is the Ritz-Carlton. If you're struggling with the Warriors, Nick Young and Boogie Cousins worked. Andre Iguodala was an all-star player. They told him, you got to go to the bench. And they were able to sandpaper that. Iggy never complained. I mean, this is one of the smart organizations. At some point, we got to stop pandering. Some of this, frankly, and he's not a bad guy, but some of this is just on Kevin. He's turbulent, even during clear skies.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
So today is 4th of July. And I thought I would have, as on Independence Day, some declarations of independence. This is the day we declared our freedom from the tyranny of the British Empire. And I want to declare our freedom from several oppressive forces in sports. These are my four declarations of independence on the 4th of July. My first declaration of independence. We need to declare our freedom from the unwritten rules of baseball. These tyrannical rules are draining the fun out of our national pastime. Let's be honest here. We should be able to live in a country where you can celebrate a home run without somebody throwing a 96-mile-an-hour heater at your skull. Every player should have a right to celebrate a home run, especially if they play for the Orioles, because they need all the support they can get. My second declaration of independence. We must declare our freedom from the NFL Pro Bowl. For years, it has bored us with its irrelevance. I say no more. Can you remember who won last year's Pro Bowl? I'll tell you who won. The people who didn't have to watch it. It's a disgrace not only to our flag, but to the game of flag football, which is more entertaining to watch. The biggest stars don't want to play in it. It's not an all-star game. It's more of an alternate star game. My third declaration of independence. We must declare our freedom from the weak college football schedules in September. Good Lord, this is embarrassing. These schedules are rough to watch. The September, this Labor Day, starting this Labor Day, this September, Alabama will subject us to the watching of them facing Duke, 28-point favorite, New Mexico State, 38-point favorite, Southern Miss. That punishment is cruel and yet all too usual. If I wanted to watch that much garbage being devoured, I'd watch Nathan's hot dog eating contest. We must demand that our September schedules are strong like our proud country. And finally, on this 4th of July, we must declare our freedom from the fear of super teams. For years, we've been warned about them. They'll take over the world. When we didn't have free agency, the Celtics won 11 titles in 13 years. When players in college didn't team up together and they didn't have a transfer portal, UCLA won 10 titles in 12 years. Give our superstars, our fans, and most importantly, Woj, the freedom to talk and discuss super teams. I believe in life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, which is why nobody wants to play for the Knicks. We must not fear super teams. What we should fear is the Hawks and Grizzlies playing on television on a Tuesday night. My declarations of independence. No more unwritten rules in baseball. No more Pro Bowl. No more embarrassing September college football schedules. And for the love of you know what, no more fear of super teams. Since 2010, 7 different teams have won titles. Free agency creates parity. It doesn't end it.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
We have three teams battling for Kawhi Leonard. I am told he will make a decision in the next 24 hours. That's what I've been told. Love Kawhi if you're watching to break it anytime now. Next 24 hours, I'm told Toronto and the Clippers and the Lakers all battling, but it's really the Raptors and the Lakers. The Clippers are third, despite an excellent season and a terrific presentation and keeping quiet. My only guess on this for the Clippers, and I'll ask Rick Bucher about this, the one thing we've talked about is the fact that he can rest 20 games in Toronto. He said that was why he was so good in the playoffs. He could rest in Los Angeles because they have two stars, LeBron and AD. He couldn't do that. The West is too good for the Clippers not to play Kawhi Leonard 25 nights, the load management thing. That's my guess, because I think the Clippers did everything right. The West, you got Portland's going to be better, probably Utah, Lakers, Dallas, Denver, all better. Denver's just going to be older. Golden State, Houston, incredibly viable. Oklahoma City, keep your eye on them. They're a tough out. I'm guessing. I'll ask Rick Bucher about that. But here's the three teams, and here's what I think happens to each if they don't land Kawhi Leonard. Let's talk about the Clippers first. They won 48 games last year and ended up being an 8 seed. They snuck in. Now, the downside is this would be soul-crushing. The downside is they're still very young. The West is better. Their best player is the worst best player of the playoff teams, Lou Williams, who I like, but he doesn't even start. I thought they also got a little lucky last year. They didn't have any major injuries, and many teams in the West did. I don't think they're a playoff team. I don't think, and I think this is just soul crushing. So I don't think the Clippers are a playoff team in an improved West. The team sharing the building, the Lakers is better. Utah's way better. I think Portland could be better. Dallas is way better. The Pelicans are better. Denver's better. And frankly, with Ja Morant, Memphis is better. Let's talk about the Raptors without Kawhi. I think they're a playoff team, and I think they could be a fairly high seed without him. The bottom of the Eastern Conference is atrocious. The Cavs are awful. The Chicago's bad. Atlanta's young and talented, but bad. D.C., Washington's horrible. Charlotte's a mess. The Knicks are terrible. Toronto is deep, well-coached, has a top GM to make a move at the trading deadline. When you have a good GM, I always count that. Can you make a move at the trading deadline? A good coach, experienced, winning culture, now a winning pedigree. The East is incredibly weak. I don't think the Boston Celtics are as good. I don't necessarily think Philadelphia is as good, but they'll be better defensively. And Milwaukee lost Malcolm Brogdon. So I think they're a playoff team. Now, I don't think they're a one or a two seed, but I wouldn't be shocked if they got to a four or a five seed and hosted a first-round playoff series. Let's talk about the Lakers without Kawhi. This lineup, if Kawhi doesn't choose them, here's what I'm being told. Rondo re-signs, JaVale McGee resigns. So you got Rondo, LeBron, AD, Kuzma, JaVale McGee, and an incredibly weak bench. Jared Dudley's an old guy. Kyle Korver may come here, an old guy. Neither can it give you a lot of minutes or defend at this point in the playoffs. I think it would be one of the weaker benches in the NBA, and I'm not sure, again, how LeBron with AD, you'll need, it's the best duo, but they've got a new coach. The GM situation is not ideal. They don't feel like a title team. Anthony Davis has a history of injuries. So I think they're a playoff team. I don't think they're much of a playoff team without Kawhi Leonard. They've waited too long. I also think all three of these teams are kind of desperate. The Clippers are desperate because they did everything right and couldn't land one big-time guy. That's a bad look. Jerry West is not getting younger. I think it's a bad look for the Raptors. If you can't keep Kawhi Leonard, who are you going to keep? He's the guy that's built perfectly for you. He's not into flash. He doesn't care about, you know, all the branding stuff. He's not a bit, he's just like a guy that wants to play basketball. Toronto's perfect. If they don't land him, that's bad. And I think the Lakers, frankly, you're going to have no bench. And as Chris Mannix said about a week ago, I think it means LeBron's last hurrah in Los Angeles is unfulfilled.
Not to be too hyperbolic, but it's the difference between maybe winning multiple championships and winning zero championships in that era. Simply because If they don't get Kawhi Leonard, they're basically scrapping for whatever's left over. That's not going to get you a championship this year or even close to it. And next year, when you look at the 2020 free agent class, there isn't a star. Next summer, you could flesh it out with, you know, some solid role players. Yeah. But it's also another year where LeBron's older. And it's another season that goes by where he doesn't win a championship. Well,
so I think there's a sniff of desperation for all of them. And I'll say it again. The team that's not desperate is the Golden State Warriors. I like them. I'll say it again. Draymond's still there. Steph, Clay by February. Steve Kerr, Bob Myers, Kayvon Looney. They just signed an all-star, D'Angelo Russell. They can keep or flip him for somebody at the trading deadline. Willie Cauley-Stein, a 12-8 guy. They got length and a rim protector. When you wait this long, I mean, the Warriors didn't wait an instant once Kevin Durant left to rebuild quick. Raptors waiting, Clippers waiting, Lakers waiting. There's a sniff of desperation for all of them.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
We're, of course, here on 4th of July. Our staff will be celebrating it tonight with their families and friends. The fireworks, it's my favorite holiday. And just great to have you in. You know, I don't think there's any question that Kevin Durant was a basketball fit in Golden State. But I read a story this morning that he wasn't that fond of Steve Kerr. What he wasn't is a mentality fit. And I think it matters. I'll give you an example. I used to live in Oregon. And Nike is the big company in Oregon, outside of Portland, Beaverton, Oregon. And there's a very strong vibe and a very strong culture to Nike. And they hired an outsider to be their CEO, William Perez. It lasted a year. It was a disaster. He was an outsider, and they had such a strong brand and a strong vibe and a strong culture that an outsider, even a very talented outsider, didn't work. This reminds me of Chip Kelly with the Philadelphia Eagles. Chip Kelly turned Oregon into a national power. They were leading Pac-12 games 44-7 at half. They had to put on the brakes second drive into the third quarter. He goes to the NFL in Philadelphia, and Philadelphia is blue collar and cheesesteak and all about tradition. And here's Chip Kelly with a newfangled offense. Every player has a different smoothie that aligns with their personality, and it just didn't work. Chip Kelly was a bad fit in Philadelphia. He was a quirky, kind of arrogant, up-tempo college guy from the West Coast. Oregon in their million uniforms, and Philadelphia is all about tradition, and he didn't fit. Kevin Durant, when you have a really strong culture, it's difficult to be an outsider. Chip Kelly didn't fit the Eagles. William Perez didn't. Talented guy, fit Nike. The Warriors have probably the strongest brand in the league. They talk politics. They're not apolitical. Kevin Durant doesn't want to talk politics. Kevin Durant is aloof. Kevin Durant is prickly. Kevin Durant just wants to talk basketball. Kevin Durant's kind of an emotional wanderer looking for the next thing. The Warriors brand is family, chill. We all poke each other in the ribs. We talk politics. We think we're sort of the way you should play basketball, our culture and style, and Kevin doesn't fit it. He's just, I mean, they won a title. He was restless first year. And I think fit matters. I think it's very, very big. I've seen it all through my life in sports that dynasties generally start from above the shoulders. Do you fit? Brady and Belichick work because they both have two things. They're workaholics, they're into family and football, and they're both incredibly willful. Phil Jackson and Kobe mostly worked. Phil aspirational, all about winning. Kobe, the killer, all about winning. So I think you can make an argument that Kevin just never really fit this incredibly strong culture where it's not about wandering. It's about family. That's what Draymond Green gave him crap about. I mean, they won 73 games without him. They won a title without him. They were a family without him. They went through a coaching change without him. And Kevin never quite felt like this is the downside to free agency. Like, everybody freaks out about free agency. I love free agency. I think mobility helps parity. And that sounds counterintuitive, but since 2000, and 10 just 9 years ago. We've had seven different NBA champions. College football, Bama and Clemson are going to play for the title again next year for like the fourth straight year, right? I mean, Bama's in that thing every year. Clemson feels like they're in it every year. In the NBA, we've had seven different championship teams in 9 years. Eight, if you go back two more years, because people have choices, but then they also get burned out and eventually get restless very quick. It's just, we talked about this yesterday. It's kind of the American way. We're a country of options and choices, and we get bored even when life is perfect. I mean, half these NBA guys are choosing to go to inferior teams, inferior coaches, inferior brands, inferior cities. But I don't think Kevin Durant ever fit. I mean, remember how testy he was with the media this year? This is just one instance.
I have nothing to do with the Knicks. I don't know who traded Porzingis. They got nothing to do with me. I'm trying to play basketball. Y'all come here every day, ask me about free agency, ask my teammates, my coaches. You rile up the fans about it. Y'all let us play basketball. That's all I'm saying. And now when I don't want to talk to y'all, it's a problem with me. Come on, man.
You're talking to the media.
So, who are you? Why do I got to talk to you?
How are you playing? How's the team playing in the last couple weeks?
I'm done. You know you don't care about that.
And for the record, the San Francisco West Coast media is not as feisty as East Coast media. It's just not. We're not Boston. We're not Philadelphia. You know, we're not as cranky. I don't know. It's the Bay Area media has been generally pretty soft, and he struggled from day one. So, listen, it was never an ideal fit. Chip Kelly, by the way, people forget this, went 10-6, and they couldn't stand him. They wanted him out. They were a bad team. They got good. They still wanted him out. It wasn't because he wasn't a good football coach. He wasn't them. Chip wasn't them. He was quirky. He wasn't into tradition. He wanted to blow stuff up and do it differently. He just didn't feel like Philadelphia. He didn't feel like Philadelphia. He was 10-6, and everybody hated him. You know, I mean, it's like, that's just the way it is. I'm a guy that's bounced into new companies and bounced out of companies. When you go into a new company, you got to watch the temperature of the room. I've been East Coast, West Coast, in the South, Pacific Northwest. You go to strong brands, you're an outsider. There's a chance. When I lived in New England, it's a great place to live. But I told people that are from New England, like they have a saying in New England, fences make good neighbors. I wasn't from New England. I didn't go to high school there. I didn't go to a prep college there. I was an outsider. I liked the people. I had fun. I raised my kids there. Well, I was always an outsider. I was always an outsider in New England. I mean, if you go to, they say that about St. Louis. You go to a party in St. Louis, everybody's like, where'd you go to high school? People that live in St. Louis have chosen St. Louis. They're from St. Louis. Everybody else is an outsider. Certain cities like that, certain brands like that, the Warriors are like that. Kevin never fit perfectly.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Cuttino Mobley, 11 seasons in the NBA. So, I mean, here we have this mystery of Kawhi Leonard. I'll tell you, my sources say Toronto and Lakers, either one. I do think it's funny. The Clippers have been totally quiet. Yeah. No leaks.
None.
Not a peep.
No.
And apparently they're third.
Jerry West, baby.
Not a peep. What, is there a place you hope Kawhi lands?
Okay, so for me, because I have a love for the Clippers, I would love for Kawhi to go to the Clippers. Okay, I just think he fits well with them. Jerry yeah. West, Doc Rivers, Patrick Beverley, who I love to death, Montrezl Harrell, Lou Williams. You know, they have a great bench. You know, I just love for him to be at the Clippers. It's kind of like, if you think about it, it's kind of like the Toronto team on the West.
It's a younger version of Toronto.
Right, on the West, right? I just think if he fits the best there.
But the problem being, the Clippers were an 8 seed last year. Mm-hmm. He can't take 22 games off. The West is better.
Right.
He could take that time off in Toronto because the East is so bad, the bottom half.
Right.
And the Lakers have two stars in Kuzma. Mm-hmm. He could probably take 12 to 15 off there.
True.
I think that's the load management issue. You know, Kawhi admitted, Cuttino, he's like, listen, the days off help me.
Yeah.
And even with the days off, he looked gassed in a couple of games late.
For sure.
Listen, it's a cardio league. I think it's tough. I will say this, though. Is that if you worried about the big picture, I don't mind him going to Los Angeles.
Best place for him is Los Angeles.
In terms of basketball?
Lakers.
Why?
Well, there's a couple of different reasons, right? If he signs with Toronto, it's 190. If he signs with anyone else, it's 140, right? So you're losing $50 million if you're not with Toronto. Now, you made an amazing point. It's a cardio league. So if I'm with the Clippers, they scratch in the 8th, 7th. We don't know what's going to happen this next year. Teams have gotten better in the West. It's hard if I sit out. But if I'm with the Lakers, I'm with LeBron James, who has the best body in the world, right? The best conditioning in the world, right? Out of 16 years, he's only been injured once. I'm going to go there. I'm going to get on his regimen. When it comes to my body, my conditioning, that's one. Two is I can take off some games, even when I'm playing, because I have AD, LeBron, and you know what I mean? Like, LeBron's just that type of guy. Now, the third one is, if I go to the Lakers and I get the 140, whatever I get, I'm saying to Magic and LeBron, listen, if I come here, put me in your businesses. So that $50 million that I lost against Toronto, I don't care. I'm making it up with you guys in perpetuity the rest of my life in companies.
By the way, Kevin Durant did this with the Warriors. John, you remember this because John used to work in the Bay Area. The Warriors said in their pitch, we'll get you into the Silicon Valley crowd.
Oh, gosh.
And he was able to invest in a lot of these Bay Area companies.
Yeah.
And he's still invested, so he can leave now and go to Brooklyn. It doesn't matter. But that was part of the pitch.
Yep.
So,
yep.
No. I want to shift to Kevin Durant. I heard this morning he doesn't like Steve Kerr or didn't get along with Steve Kerr. And I'm like, dude, at some point, you didn't get along with the Bay Area media, which is pretty soft. You didn't get along with the medical staff. You didn't get along with Draymond Green. Isn't some of this on Kevin Durant? Maybe he just doesn't get along with people.
Listen, Draymond Green is the one who recruited you first. That's the first thing. And I heard that he, you know, I guess he jumped on Stephen A. Smith about what Stephen A. Smith said. And he jumped on, you know, Skip Bayless, and he jump on you, he'll jump on me and Chris Boucher. So what's the common denominator here, right? Like, at the end of the day, you know, you got the matches in your pocket. It's the only reason places are getting on fire is because you keep striking matches. It's nothing about everybody else. That's just my point, right? It's like, you don't get along with these people. Let's look in the mirror and figure out why, right? It must be deep-rooted. Something else is going on. Right, it's not about basketball. It's about our inner self, my opinion.
You know, I always had this theory. Let's talk, and Kevin Durant certainly qualifies as one of the 7 or 8 American sports stars. Mm-hmm. You know, he's in that top dozen, right? Mm-hmm. Tom Brady. Just hear me out. It's my theory on this.
Okay.
Because I've seen this happen in the media.
Right.
Tom Brady, married, lots of kids.
Mm-hmm.
Steph Curry, married kids.
Right.
Russell Wilson, married kids.
Right.
You're too busy. Who are the guys that get into media skirmishes?
Yes.
Kevin Durant, not married, no kids.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers, not married, no kids. Kyrie Irving, not married, no kids.
Yeah.
OBJ, not married, no kids.
Yeah.
You're on this all day. I can't be on this all day. I got kids screaming at me.
I mean, it's ridiculous.
You got your wife. You got your kids. Married. I've seen this in the media.
Yeah.
I have seen people blow up their careers. It's never people that are married with kids.
Yeah.
It's the single talk show host. It's the... On this, getting into skirmishes all day with people
Listen, I think you're 100% right. I'm telling you. They always say idle time is the devil's playground.
Right.
And he has too much time.
Coutinho, the next year.
He's in trouble.
He's going to do 2 hours of rehab and go to this and watch shows like this all day.
And listen, you're in Brooklyn. Okay, you're not with the Knicks. You're still in Brooklyn. You're still in New York. Like, that's tough.
You can't go outside if you're a 7-footer and you're a superstar. You can't hide. Mike Trout can hide in Anaheim. Puts on sunglasses. Nobody knows who he is. NBA stars can't hide. You're inside.
Yeah.
In the winter. Done with rehab at 10 in the morning. Sitting around till 11 at night.
Brooklyn?
I got nothing against Brooklyn.
Are we serious? No, I don't either. But the history of New Yorkers.
30th in attendance.
Go ahead.
You know, I don't think it's going to be. Vegas thinks it's going to be first or second best team in the league going forward. I think it's going to be incredibly turbulent. Oh, I got to ask you about this because this reminded me of you. So we always like to bury people. Like I remember as a kid growing up, Muhammad Ali's done. George Foreman's going to beat him, and then they go to Zaire, and you just the heart of a champion.
Right.
Muhammad Ali rose. We bury the Patriots every time they have a bad
every
September.
Every single time.
Warriors, we buried them. But Kevin Durant was restless, and they knew it.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't come home one day, and the wife left you.
Right.
She'd been complaining for 2 years.
Yes.
So the minute Kevin Durant leaves, they get Willie Cauley-Stein, they solve their big problem.
I love it.
Kayvon Looney takes a pay discount.
I love it.
And D'Angelo Russell. Now, I love D'Angelo Russell. He actually reminds me of your game, a crafty playmaker, a little lefty.
Yeah.
See, I think it works for at least a year.
Yes.
Now, everybody's telling me their styles, Steph and D'Angelo, don't work. What do you see with their styles?
Well, I don't know. Listen, I'm not saying that people don't know what they're talking about, but if you look at D'Angelo Russell and the history of how he plays the game, he's a playmaker.
No question.
Right? And he's a great offensive one-on-one player. So if you think about Stephen Curry, who's amazing off the ball, right?
It's impossible to keep up with Steph.
You can't.
And by the way, James Harden, if you go back to when Kevin Durant didn't play for the Warriors against the Rockets, their offense without Durant ran so much, I think Chris Paul and Harden wore out chasing Steph.
That's exactly what it is. Because, see, psychologically, what you have to do is, and I deal with this with the Big Three. You know, we play in weekends in the Big Three. I think about players. We'll play on a Saturday or a Sunday. If we play on a Saturday, I start thinking about them on Sunday and Monday. After that, I erase my brain from them and then focus on myself. So a lot of players become worried of other players they have to play before they're playing. When you have to play Michael Jordan or Kobe Bryant or this person or that person, you're thinking about them throughout the week. That's mentally draining in itself. Yeah. So now you have to play Stephen Curry, Klay Thompson. You're running around all day long. You yourself are not going to be 100% on the offensive end or 100% on the defensive end, right? You're going to be in between, which takes away from a lot of your strengths. If it was just a regular game, it's not a regular game. You're playing Stephen Curry. You're playing Klay Thompson. Now you have D'Angelo Russell, who's running around, passing the ball, can score on anybody by himself. So now you can't leave Steph. You can't leave. To me, it's a lot more dangerous to have those three on the court together.
Well, to your point, Steph is so good off
he's
the ball.
He's so good.
And he's
so good.
He's pretty egoless.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of think that Steph's the kind of guy, like James Harden's game, he needs the ball.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Kyrie Irving's game. He needs the ball.
Think about it like this. Brooklyn. You had Dinwiddie. You had LeVert. And you had D'Angelo Russell. D'Angelo Russell still did well. Right? And Dinwiddie and LeVert, no disrespect to them, are not better than Klay Thompson and Stephen Curry. Right? When D'Angelo Russell goes to play with these guys, with Stephen Curry and Klay Thompson, the way they move without the ball, his game will elevate so much. Stephen Curry shot one more a field goal than Kevin Durant last year. Just one more field goal and was super efficient. Now he has somebody that's going to be a true point guard that's a combo guard that's literally on the floor with him. I just feel bad for defenders.
No, I mean, Curry has shown an ability to play with other stars, surrender the basketball.
All day long.
All day long. Catino Mobley, good seeing you, man. Leads the big three in scoring, by the way.
Yeah.